read that just like I had it written down. Thank you. Well, I think you noticed it rained yesterday, and we brought that down with us, so you can thank us for that. We'd noticed you hadn't had any rain for, a day or two? I thought we were going to float down here a few weeks ago, so we got a boat ready just in case. You Church of Christ people, you think you're the only one going to heaven, don't you? Ever heard anything like that? Well, we want to talk about the one true church this morning. And a good place to start is where Jesus said he would build his church. You're familiar with this passage, are you not? Matthew 16. I also say to you that you are Peter. What had Peter just said? That he was the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, no, but upon the rock, the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we're going to talk about the one true church. You know, when I'm walking, I like to walk on solid ground, don't you? Not so much, I think, when I was a little kid, because we'd do some pretty dangerous things walking up in the hayloft on the tear poles and risking our lives, really, but we really didn't care back then because we were going to live forever, we thought. But there is one true church. We don't hear lessons like this much anymore, and some even members of the church are not sure that we're the only Christians. We had a fellow in Greencastle, Indiana, move in with his family, a very nice-looking family. But we began to talk to him. He said he thought there were saved in all churches. Really? Well, we had a little discussion about that. And we should, shouldn't we? Are there saved in these denominations? Shake your head this way. No, they are not. They have been duped and deceived by the false teacher, the king of false teaching, the devil himself, and his emissaries. I want you to know that the church of which you are a member, if you are a member of the Lord's church, is the only church. And the accusation that you think you're the only ones going to go to heaven, know what we think is the only ones who are going to go to heaven are the ones that abide by this book. Read John chapter 15. We must abide in him, right? In Christ. John 18 and verse 36 tells us that this kingdom is not a physical kingdom. What does most of the world believe? What did the world believe? Even Jesus' disciples, even the apostles, thought it was going to be a kingdom like Saul, David, and Solomon. But in answering Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He says it twice in this verse. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, just like the Romans did, or were doing, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And people say, oh Lord, you missed it. It is from here. When you come back, you're going to set up your kingdom and you're going to reign on David's literal throne. What book are they reading? It's not this one, is it? They're listening to these false teachers, blind leading the blind, and therefore they'll both fall into the ditch. And thus we need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth so we can help people like that. And then be courageous enough to talk to them about it, to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, those with whom we come in contact. praying that we can teach the lost. Pray to God that he'll lead us to, well, what's the song say? Lead me to some soul today. Pray that every day and watch what'll happen. My kingdom is not from here, he said. Well, did Jesus lie when he said that? Excuse me, Lord, you missed it there. No, he did not lie, did he? Luke 17 and verse 20, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Doesn't come with parades and the physical eye, you can see. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, look here, look there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Here's the Bible heart. It's in your head. That's where the kingdom is. It is within you, folks. Are we still waiting for it to come? Jesus said, I'm going to build it. He hadn't built it yet when he said that. But he said, I'm going to. Are we still waiting for it? Absolutely not. How do we know? The kingdom already exists, and you know that, don't you? But we can prove it. Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, or the King James says, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Not is going to, not will, but he has. Past tense. He has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Back in the first century, they were in this kingdom. Verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. And he is, not will be, the head. He is the head of the church. That's pretty simple. We could just stop right there, couldn't we? You want more evidence? I think we can give it to you. Acts 2 and verse 47, you're familiar with this. And the Lord added to the church daily. Wouldn't that be good to be said about the church today? The Lord adding daily to his church. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to give the elders problems of where are we going to put all these people? And you know the elders wouldn't be mad, would they? They wouldn't be saying, now you folks quit converting all these people. We're running out of room. Our parking lot's full. We have to sit chairs out in the aisle. And boy, I don't know what y'all are thinking about when you're converting all these. Wouldn't that be a good problem to have? Shake your head this way. Yeah. What about the singing in this building? Wow. And I tell you what, when you convert people like that, you bring them out of their sinking ships. You bring them into the body of Christ. You know what? You don't have to beg them to come. And you know what they'll do? They'll say, there's more back where I came from. I'm so glad I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And they'll tell you there's more back in that denomination. They're going to be surprised. The very people they thought they could convert may not be. But you'll find them to be hardest workers. And they will go after the lost. But sometimes we convert people, and we're not working to convert others, and they see that, and they lay down their arms. We need to get busy, and we need to get to work, or get ready to die. The point is, the Lord added to his church back then. Listen to this, at Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Other things can be moved, the Lord had said. Can be shaken, but this kingdom is not going to be. Other kingdoms come and go, but not this one. Revelation 1 and verse 9, John thought he was in the kingdom, didn't he? Near the end of the first century, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, the endurance. It took endurance, I'm telling you folks, to be a member of the Lord's church in the first century. The terrorists were in their country. We don't know that fear. You are not living in fear this morning of a bunch of people coming in with swords and going to cut your head off. Are you? You weren't worried about that, were you? You talk about a blessed, wonderful nation with this beautiful edifice in which you live, worship God, comfortable seats in which to sit. Hadn't always been like that, had there, Freddie? We hadn't had these cushioned backs and seats. No lumbar for your back. It took endurance to be a Christian in the first century. The kingdom and the church are used interchangeably. Some say the kingdom is one thing, the church is another. They say that because when Jesus came, the Jews killed him and God didn't know it, they say. I've had them sit in my dining room table and say, God didn't know the Jews were going to kill Jesus. And so he inserted the church age. God said, what are we going to do now? They killed Jesus and I didn't mean for that to happen. Really? Again, what book are they reading? The kingdom and the church are the very same thing. Matthew 16, 18, and 19, which we just read a minute ago. So I'll not refresh you with that. My church, it is the kingdom of heaven, he says in the same context. Kingdom and the church are the same again. Both began at the same time. Therefore, they are the same. Well, somebody says, prove it. Glad to. You do not teach, believe, or practice anything you cannot open this book and say it's right here, as Andy Griffith would say. You can do that. Had a Baptist preacher in front of his congregation laughing at us, and he said, these people believe baptism is for the remission of sins. He was letting me witness. I think he was sorry he did that. And I said, yes, because Acts 2:38 says baptism is for the remission of sins. And one of the elders of that congregation stood up sitting on the front row. He said, they believe baptism washes away sins. Laughing. Does Acts 22:16 come to mind? Arise and be baptized and what? Wash away your sins. By the way, they fired that preacher that night. I'd ask him if I could witness. They had several people witnessing, and I raised my hand, told him who I was, and that I was the preacher for the church just down the way. He said, no, go ahead. We need to prove what we believe, teach, and practice, and be able to do so. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Remember what Daniel had just done? I wish we had time to get into that. Interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream and told him about the four kingdoms. And in the midst of this fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom that we now know, they didn't know that then. Not the third, not the fifth, but the fourth kingdom. These are the Roman kings of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Lo and behold, 700 years or later than, or 500 years, almost 600 years later, here comes John the Baptist preaching the kingdom of heaven. Well, when did he come? Do we have record of it? Sure do. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, a Roman king, Caesar. John the Baptist came forth preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. In the right kingdom, just like Daniel said. In the fourth, how did he know how many kingdoms were going to be? Go back and read Daniel chapter 2. I'm telling you, that chapter is such a faith building. I remember thinking as a little child, and been hearing about the one true church, and all my friends were members of denominations, just a little bitty boy. Are we sure we have the truth? Better check that out. And when you get to studying, you start putting God's word into your heart, you can say, yes, sir. Just like when you found out that 2 + 2 = 4. That's the truth, isn't it? Always is the truth, isn't it? Sure is. kingdom was at hand in the first century. How do I know? It was near. Matthew 3:1-2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 4. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, we've got to ask you another question. How at hand was it? Well, people say, well, that's relative. It could be, you know, not tomorrow. It could be way on down the line. Well, what did Jesus say? Mark 9:1. Remember this passage, don't you? They were preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here that shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." If I were Jesus and telling you, some of you are not going to die till you see this kingdom come with power. Are there some of those people still alive? They'd have to be, according to our false teaching denominational teachers who say that he hadn't set up his kingdom yet. Jesus said, some of you standing here, they were not sitting, they were standing, till they have seen the kingdom come with power. No, none of them are still living. You know where they are? They'd be nearly 2,000 years old, wouldn't they? Sure. Old Testament proof, 7 centuries before Jesus. Another familiar passage, isn't it? Nearly 750 years before the fact. Tell me something that's going to happen 750 years from now and in the very city where it's going to happen. Can you do it? "It shall come to pass in the last days." You know, ever since I was a little bitty boy, I've been hearing, "Oh, we're in the last days." Our neighbors in Peoria, Illinois. Oh, I was just a little boy sitting on their couch, and Mom and Dad were studying with them, and they were saying, "Oh, the end is near, the end is near. We just know, we can tell by the signs of the times." That was way back in early 50s. We'll find out when these last days are. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, his government, shall be established in the top of the mountains." It's going to be over all the governments. "And shall be exalted above the hills and all nations." You know what that means, don't you? Not just the Jews, but all nations. And aren't you glad of that? "Shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.'" We're going to find out what that house is in a minute. "And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths," which is what we are doing, isn't it? We are being taught his ways and walking in his paths. "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Who's to say 750 years from that point that Jerusalem would even be on the map? War, devastation, earthquake has taken down cities. And you can go back at every point that Isaiah makes in these two verses. Nothing failed. Every prophecy that all the prophets made, over 300 prophecies about Jesus, not a single one failed. When he said it was finished, it was finished. He completed it all. Well, what is this house of God that Isaiah talks about? 1 Timothy 3 doesn't leave us in doubt, does it? "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." When Isaiah talked about the house of God back in verse 2, chapter 2, the house of God's coming. Paul tells us it is the church of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? The pillar and ground of the truth. We are the only ones teaching the truth. And if we don't teach the truth, what happens? The song says, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" How are we doing? We need to step up to the lick log and admit and ask God to forgive us and then do something about it. Well, when are these last days he talked about? Again, are we left in doubt? Isn't this awesome? When you can put it all together and you can just see it unfolding. See, we're not looking way back in the past to what's going to happen. We have seen it happen. We can read it. Paul said, whereby when you read. And that's the problem that a lot of us are not reading. We're not a reading nation anymore. Very few people. Who likes to read? I know a couple in here. Yeah. Read a good book recently? Try this one. And it will increase your faith. Well, when are the last days we started to point out? Peter said as he began his sermon in Acts chapter 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, Joel agrees with Isaiah. Now, how did that happen? Imagine prophets agreeing with each other. 40 different writers writing about the same thing, Old and New Testament. 8 of the writers in the New Testament. None of them contradicted the other. Peter said, Joel prophesied about the last days, like Isaiah did. And Peter said, we're in them. So when somebody tells you, we're in the last days, you just read Acts 2:16, tell them, so was Peter. No big surprise, is it? The writer of the book of Hebrews hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But now he's spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Powerful, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? Doesn't this increase your faith? We can say we're in the body of Christ, the Lord's church. It's so wonderful. It's so consoling. We're not in doubt. We're going to be looking at this verse in different phrases in this verse. Who set the clock ahead? And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus said it had been prophesied about, even his death, verse 46, that he had to suffer. Remember Isaiah 53? How did Isaiah know that? The suffering servant. Not only that, he said in verse 46, but verse 47, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Just like the prophet said. Just where Isaiah said 700 plus years before. Go ahead, evolutionists. Try to disprove. Oh, this was written. What you're reading there, Isaiah. Oh, that was written after the fact. No. It didn't happen, and then they wrote about it. Mm-mm. It's not a myth. Not a myth. Verse 49 of the same chapter, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city. What city? Until ye are clothed with power from on high. Jerusalem is the city, isn't it? Acts 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Was Isaiah right? That's where it's going to begin. The word of the Lord to go forth from Jerusalem. My, my, my. Again, you know the verse 47. Preaching. Not only just in the right city, but it was preaching. Jesus said preaching would come forth. Just like Jesus said. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, heard what? Heard Peter's preaching. They were pricked in their heart. This thing right here. Okay. A little bit, we're going to talk about another audience that was cut to the heart in Acts chapter 7. Different attitudes, weren't they? These people were pricked in their heart. For with the heart man believeth, Romans 10, verse 9. Then they that gladly receive the word, the preached word. See, we've still got to do that. Remember the parable of the sower? Are you going to convert everybody? And yes, you get discouraged when your neighbors say, don't want to hear anymore. Don't want to hear anymore. Okay, you can't shake the dust off your feet and go on. Don't try to beat them to death with it. They don't want it. You can't force them. Preaching just what Jesus said. What did he say to was going to be preached? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Does that come to mind, verse 38? Sure does. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What did Jesus say in verse 47? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Just where he said and just what he said. Yes, ma'am. And the preaching would be in his name, by his authority. When an officer knocks on the door, says, open up in the name of the law. Hopefully not your door. What is he saying? Because I say law? No. By the authority that I have. Open up by the authority that I have. Preaching in his name, by his authority. Did they do that? See that underlined phrase? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of, by the authority of Jesus Christ. And whatever repentance is for, baptism is for. People try to get away from this baptism thing, don't they? Oh, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. That's preached in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's the one that said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Can you go higher authority than that? Shake your head this way. Acts 10:48, the same speaker, Peter, to Cornelius' household. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What was the baptism in the name of the Lord for, verse 38 of Acts 2? For the remission of sins. Was Cornelius baptized for the remission of his sins? Yes. It wasn't as an outward sign of an inward grace, was it? It wasn't because Cornelius was already saved, was he? Aren't you glad you've heard, you've believed, and you've obeyed the truth? I think you are. What's going to happen at the end? Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When he comes again, there's not going to be more death, is there? That's going to be the last. For he has put all things under his feet. He's not going to be setting up a kingdom when he comes. He's going to be putting it down. Putting down all authority, not setting it up, but giving it up. Well, who are we reading here? Well, we say this is Paul's writing. No, it is the Holy Spirit's writing. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Is this the Holy Spirit? Therefore, this is God saying that. When Jesus comes again, he's going to put down all rule and all authority. Again, how much clearer can it be? Isn't this awesome, folks? Sure it is. Sure it is. All the dead will be raised and judged according to their works. John 5:28. When Jesus comes again, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. In that hour, there's not going to be two separate resurrections, as our premillennial friends say. No. Just one. In that day, in that hour, all will appear before the judgment seat. In that hour. You ever think about that? All the billions of people that have ever lived. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm not God. But I do know He is. And whatever He wants to do, He can and He will do. And I know I'm going to be there. And I know my knees are going to bow. And my tongue is going to confess the things I've done in this body, whether they be good. Does He stop there? Oh, let's just stop there. Let it be all the good, if you've done any. But the evil as well. All will be judged according to their works. You, and me. Every one of us. Think about that. 2 Peter 3:8 through 12. When Christ returns, the earth will be burned up with fervent heat. But the day of the Lord will come. Scoffers says, well, He promised to come. He hadn't come, therefore He hasn't. Did you ever make a promise and remember the day later? Oh, I was supposed to. Oh. I can give you time after time when I've done something like that. And the older I get, it seems to come more often. The day of the Lord will come. Scoffers say, oh, no, it will come as a thief in the night. Oh, we know when He's coming. It's got to be soon because look at all the wars and look at all the turmoil in our country. No, a thief doesn't tell you when He's coming, does he? Or he'll be a captured thief, won't he? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. It's not going to be silent. Jesus is not going to sneak in and take a few off the earth. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses tell me as they were walking out my door, oh, that's a whole other meaning. It doesn't mean that at all. You know, I wouldn't have known that if they hadn't told me. I can't read that in there, can I? Can you? The earth and the works that are therein. The heavens are going to be on fire. Don't read it and weep. Read it and believe it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be raised. If you then be raised with Christ. Raised from what? Well, chapter 2, verse 12 says we're buried with Him in baptism, doesn't it? If you then be raised together with Christ, read Romans 6, 3 and 4. We're buried with Him in baptism. We arise to walk in newness of life. Isn't that awesome, folks? And you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. I'm living proof. I have two brothers whose IQs double mine. But if I can figure this out, so can you. Isn't this awesome, folks? Wow. How simple God has made it for us. We sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. Not here on earth. Again, my friends tell me, Jehovah's Witnesses say, oh, heaven's full. They got the 144,000 and you can't go. You're going to be here on earth. What did Peter say? Going to be burned up. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when He comes again, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. They say, no, we're going to meet Him on the earth. Okay. And because you can't convince them doesn't mean you don't have the truth. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Read that last line. That where I am, there you may be also. Not where you are, that I may be there with you on earth. No. In heaven, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that over your head? Again, back to Mark 9, 1. See that last phrase there, come with power. That kingdom is going to come with power. Well, what power? What power is it going to come? Jesus said, verse 49 of Luke that we read earlier, until you are clothed with power, go to the city, stay there till you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Did that happen? Yes, it did. The power is coming. The power is coming, he said. You're going to be endued with power here in Jerusalem. Well, when did the power come upon them? Are we left in doubt? No. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Did you hear that yesterday? Did you hear that rushing mighty wind yesterday? And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus said, you remain in the city, and this power is going to come upon you. So when the Spirit came, the power came, and the kingdom came. All of that was in Acts 2. There's much more. I guess we're running out of time. Let's see. Pretty close to. The kingdom is now in existence. And if you've been baptized into Christ, into the church, for by one Spirit are you baptized into one body, you're a part of that kingdom that was prophesied thousands of years ago. And you are so blessed. How are you doing? It's powerful, isn't it? Jesus is the King of Kings, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the one that we serve. It sure is. Well, there's more, but we'll stop right here. I think you're getting the point that you can prove what you believe. Thank you for your kind attention.